Well, today's gospel reading contains very familiar words. In some ways, perhaps almost too familiar. It's full of words that have become part of Christian jargon. Words like love, joy, abiding, keeping the commandments. The temptation, I think, is to think that we know all about this stuff and to fail to really engage with the radical nature of what Jesus is teaching. So as we try to hear those words afresh today, it's important to remember, first of all, the context in which Jesus spoke these words in John's Gospel. Chapters 13 to 17 of John contain Jesus' farewell discourse to his closest followers. He was preparing them for his departure, helping them to understand what to do when he would no longer be with them physically. At the beginning of chapter 15, Jesus has used the metaphor of the vine and told his disciples that they must abide in him. For just as branches must remain in the vine, otherwise they will die, so Jesus' followers will need to keep close to him. The emphasis in the first half of the chapter is on the theme of union with Christ and his people. If Jesus' disciples are to survive in the world, they will need to keep close together, to live in community, to avoid the temptation to go it alone, and to be in that close relationship with Christ. But in the second half of the chapter, the emphasis changes, and Jesus speaks of abiding in his love. The word abide is one of John's favourites, and he uses it repeatedly throughout this chapter, but not only in this chapter. The first question asked of Jesus by two potential followers in the very first chapter of the Gospel is, "Rabbi, where do you abide?" And the response is, "Come and see." And the word occurs in chapter 14 when Jesus tells his disciples that he is going away to prepare a place for them and that in his Father's house there are many abodes, usually translated as dwelling places or resting places. So abiding is an important theme, and its use is not confined to the agricultural metaphor in the first part of the chapter 15. Some modern translations substitute other words like dwell, stay, or remain, but the Greek word meno, I think, is still best rendered abide. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. That is a remarkable statement. Jesus tells his followers that he loves them just as much as his Father God loves him, and that they too are to abide in his love. So abide is a very intimate word. Here it means to rest in, to be completely comfortable in. Eugene Peterson paraphrases these verses with Jesus saying, "Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love." I suspect most of us are fond of our homes, whatever form your home takes. I can remember clearly the day that Rosemary and I arrived back from our honeymoon and moved into a little furnished flat, which was at the back of a house in Gordon. Rosemary's father referred to it as the gnome home. The first task was to unpack our wedding presents. It was the 70s, so of course we found we had 10 casserole dishes, one fondue set, a box of splades, and several cut glasses, vases, and as well as a lot of other useful items. We filled up the shelves with our books and records and made the place our own. In John 15, Jesus invites himself into our homes. His desire is to be part of our lives, part of our homes, to abide with us. The welcome guest at every meal and the sympathetic presence in every conversation. To abide in Christ is to be aware of the presence of Christ in our lives, wherever and everywhere we go. To abide in Christ is to be secure in the knowledge that I am loved by God, and to use Philip Yancey's words, to know that there is nothing that I can do to make God love me more, and there is nothing I can do to make God love me any less. Certainly, we may experience moments of heightened awareness when we feel most, when we more consciously feel God's love, but abiding means being able to rest in the certainty of God's love today and every day. But Jesus also says that we are to abide in his love when we obey his commandments. So the first instruction in today's gospel reading is to abide in Christ's love, but the second instruction, namely that we should love one another, and it's clearly linked to it. John, the author of this gospel, talks about love more than any other New Testament writer. In this passage, he gives us the words of Jesus, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you." Remember the context. Jesus is talking to his disciples. In the next 24 hours, they are all going to turn their backs on him. One will betray him, another will publicly deny him 3 times. The rest of them will just go into hiding. Just one of them will have the courage to stand with the faithful, courageous women at the foot of the cross. Yet John tells us that knowing all these things, Jesus still loved them to the very end. So when Jesus tells us to love one another in the same way that he loves, he is telling us that we are to love one another even when we don't deserve it. When we first fall in love with someone, we can't imagine not loving them. But because of our human weakness and frailty, and because we inevitably do things that disappoint or upset the person we love, we soon discover that love can be tested and it can wane. We discover that loving one another involves the willingness to forgive one another. To keep our love fresh and strong, we need to keep close to the one who is the source of love, for God is love. And as John says in another place, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." If we abide in Christ's love and if we learn to love one another, then the outcome, Jesus says, will be joy. Jesus says, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus' desire today for all of us is joy. We might think it's strange that Jesus should talk about joy on the night before his arrest, but he actually uses the word 7 times in his farewell address. He knew that after his suffering and death, he would return to the Father, and he knew that his disciples would soon have the presence of the Holy Spirit with them, and with them forever. Joy is a recurrent theme throughout the scriptures. The psalmist wrote, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning." The message of the angels at the birth of Jesus was good news of great joy for all people. Joy is not dependent on outward circumstances. Jesus promised his disciples that even though they would experience the pain of losing his physical presence with them, no one would be able to take their joy from them. There are lots of things in our world that try to rob us of joy. Dangerous or incompetent world leaders, the plight of millions of refugees and displaced persons, financial institutions riddled with corruption, the fear of disease, the fear of old age, the list is almost endless. Yet despite all of this, Jesus says joy is possible. You can have the joy that is in me. The Greek words for joy and for grace share the same root. The writer to the Hebrews declared that for the sake of the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. If we have experienced God's grace, then we have the certainty that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. Sunday by Sunday, we are reminded of God's unconditional love, a love which we are to share with each other. At its best, church should be a place where we experience joy. Joy in the assurance of God's love, and joy in the acceptance of each other as equal recipients of God's love. There is a tradition of the Apostle John in his old age, when no longer able to teach or preach, would simply tell the people of his community, "Love one another. That is the Lord's commandment, and if you keep it, that by itself is enough." So may we all learn how to abide in God's love so that we can love one another and experience joy. Amen.